Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Field. He was out there to try to win us the San Diego game on Monday night.
That's a good point.
Thank you. So practice number eight yesterday. All right, Seth, I've got some rapid-fire observations, and you are here to react to them.
Shoot them at me rapidly.
I am the eyes and ears. Ben, mood music, please. Please, thank you. I am the eyes and ears of radio at these practices, which is a scary thought. All right, Seth, yesterday, and I feel good about this observation because Aaron Reese in a separate silo corroborated it on Twitter yesterday. And I like Aaron Reese. He's a very smart person. He's good at watching these practices. It was a great day for the secondary yesterday. Bradley Roby had a big day yesterday. Bradley Roby was covering well in drills. He had an interception of Deshaun Watson where he was just poor Stevie Mitchell. Just could not shake free of Bradley Roby on a crossing route about 15, 20 yards downfield. Deshaun made a bad decision, threw the ball, Roby picked it, and it might have gone the distance the other way, but it's hard to tell because they don't tackle at practice. But if it were a real game, I think it would have had a chance, certainly would have set up the offense with some pretty decent field position. So Bradley Roby, nice day yesterday. Lonnie Johnson looks like things are starting to come together for him. He had a good day as well in the drills. Warmed up with the safeties again, for what it's worth. He warms up with the safeties, but then played corner in the 11-on-11 drills. And Justin Reed, so this is three-fourths of your starting secondary right now because Conley's running with the twos. Justin Reed is stride for stride with everyone he's covering in practice. He has been spot on really throughout camp, but yesterday a really good day. So right now...
Did you say Justin Reed or John Reed?
No, Justin Reed.
Justin Reed.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome if John Reed did too.
But yeah, I thought said John Reed. I got excited. Okay.
John Reed's had a good camp. Like, John Reed does not look overwhelmed as a rookie. You know, he hasn't had to run against Will Fuller or Brandon Cooks or anybody like that yet. But, I mean, you know, John Reed's obviously making the team. John Reed was fielding punts before practice as well, just for what it's worth. They had a few guys back there.
Let me ask you this about Lonnie Johnson, because, he put a lot of clips out there in the offseason of him working on his foot speed with the footwork king there. Is it noticeable?
Yes. He is in. I mean, I'm not dialed in on him every play just to see how his hip turn is and things like that. But he's not struggling in coverage. Early in camp, he was struggling being handsy like he was last year. But he's gotten better with that too.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it, because it's not just Lonnie Johnson. It's really a lot of college defensive backs now. They don't backpedal anymore.
Yeah.
The techniques that they're teaching at a lot of schools is just turn and bail and then make your way back to the route. So guys get to the NFL and they kind of have to learn the basics all over again, or maybe for the first time.
Yeah.
And for a bigger guy especially, that's tough. So Lonnie, who was in a bunch of different systems in college and then had to come and learn some of the basics of playing NFL cornerback, I expect him to make a big leap this year. I don't know how high that puts his ceiling or not, but he had a lot working against him last year. He's got all the raw physical tools to get it done, and I think hopefully just last year was a really good learning experience for him to let him see exactly, okay, this is what I got to work on in the offseason, and I'm going to come back a different guy.
Seth, this time last year, the secondary was Jonathan Joseph, Aaron Colvin, Bradley Roby at corner, and then Justin Reed and Tashawn Gibson at safety. This is a much more athletic secondary. Who knows if they're going to be better than they were last year? I mean, they're all going to be better than Aaron Colvin was last year. And God bless Jonathan Joseph, who's one of the greatest Texans of all time, but he was 36 years old last year. Now it's Roby, it's Lonnie Johnson, it's Garyon Conley, it's Justin Reed. Eric Murray looks very athletic. I don't know how good he's going to be as a safety. But they've absolutely, similar to along the offensive line, they've just got better quality talent. Just the physical tools are better in the secondary than they were this time last year. We'll see if it translates.
Was Earl Thomas out there or not?
He was not. No, Earl Thomas.
Just checking. I don't know if maybe I missed the headline or something.
No, he was not out there.
For the record, everybody, I'm not. Earl Thomas all of a sudden has a whole lot of Antonio Brown to him. I don't think the Texans are really any team needs whatever the hell Earl Thomas has got going on in his brain right now.
Seth, the Cowboys basically said yesterday they're not interested in him. He's screwed.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Boy, he's really screwed.
He's screwed.
The Cowboys won't take you.
Yeah.
Cowboys will take anybody.
Yeah.
Like for any, without, there's almost no transgression too great for the Cowboys to ignore.
I don't feel like I'm speaking out of turn with my next observation from practice yesterday because O'Brien was asked about it in the pool report with John McClain and gave thoughts on it afterwards because they were discouraged from saying so-and-so, this is what the ones looked like, the twos looked like because there's different packages. So, but Max Sharping was, yesterday at least, was the center for the second-string offensive line for the whole practice. And so it looked odd, and you ask yourself, is Sharping getting demoted? No. This is something they've been doing throughout camp. Kelemete was snapping the other day. And O'Brien's quote from the pool report with John McClain afterwards was, quote, we're trying to make sure we know what we have in Nick. Or he says, we know what we have in Nick, Mance, Kelemete at center, Zach Fulton. Max is a guy that can play all five spots. He's our starting left guard, but he can do other things. So we're trying to pick a day here and there to give him the training at the other positions. Seth, I would imagine this may be my question for O'Brien today. They're always mixing and matching along the offensive line throughout training camp. Versatility is a big deal with Bill O'Brien. I do wonder if COVID-19, if that accelerates or if that augments the urgency in getting guys along the offensive line at least somewhat primed up for other spots in case you get hit with, three COVID cases in one position group. You all of a sudden you're going, man, we might need to put Max Sharping at center this week.
I would say theoretically, yeah, except that Bill O'Brien's been doing this all along. And
yeah.
Max Sharping is probably the guy that I worry about least because, going back to training camp last year, I remember talking to TJ Yates about Max Sharping because TJ, remember, was working with the offensive line last year. And TJ, and TJ's not, he doesn't BS. TJ was just talking about how smart Max Sharping really is. He picks things up very, very fast. So if that's almost like the bigger prerequisite than athleticism or anything else if you're looking for a backup center. It's like, okay, is this a guy that can handle it mentally? And I think also because Sharping is that smart of a football player, it might actually help him play guard better too when he understands some of the stresses of playing center in that system.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I've done a complete 180 on O'Brien wanting to play offensive linemen everywhere. It's everything has changed in the NFL ever since they started diagnosing concussions for offensive linemen.
Yeah.
They used to get them. They just never got diagnosed. I could never remember an offensive lineman being diagnosed with a concussion. Now, there's a few times a year where your offensive line is going to get shuffled up just for concussions alone. You got to have guys be more versatile.
Yeah, I'm not fully come around on it. I think it depends on the lineman. Like you said, Sharping is a guy who has the acumen to handle a lot of things, so it's probably okay with him. I think some of that might have been part of what ruined Xavier Suofilo early on in his career. Like he had enough on his plate being the 33rd overall pick and being handed he wasn't handed the starting left guard position. I think they hoped that he could have been handed the starting left guard position, but Ben Jones played guard that year because Chris Myers was still here. I don't know, man. I feel like sometimes with young players that don't have the IQ that Sharping does, it might be better just to, you know, let them eat at what they're normally supposed to do at first.
I think part of that has also been just in how they go about coaching the offensive line in the way. You know, I think they improved on this a lot last year. There used to be a lot of offensive linemen just genuinely not knowing what they were supposed to be doing on a given play, yeah, whether they were in their chosen position or otherwise. That makes it really, really hard. When you have any kind of uncertainty in your mind at the beginning of a play, it goes haywire really, really fast. I think they've cleaned that up. That was, one way that T.J. Yates, a quarterback, being in the offensive line meeting room really helped, is that they got the communication errors cleaned up a lot. So now I think I've committed to being more open, accepting of offensive linemen being whatever they choose to be.
Sounds good. Yeah. Next observation from practice yesterday, Deshaun, the interception to Roby notwithstanding, Deshaun was throwing dimes yesterday. And in these one-on-one drill sets where these receivers are running go routes, Deshaun is just dropping it in the bucket. He looked really good. He's looked really good all camp. He's been their best offensive player throughout the camp, Deshaun has been. So, Texan fans, be excited about that. Deshaun, even though I know people hear about his through an interception, that's the exception rather than the rule. Deshaun looks in complete control right now.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it seems like from your guys' reports that he's gotten rid of that old thing that used to plague him, where it seemed like the first week he was really shaking off a whole lot of rust.
Yeah.
And he was holding on to the ball too long, all that. It doesn't sound like he was doing that this year.
No, McCarron's doing it more than he is.
McCarron?
McCarron's holding on. McCarron's big thing is it feels like every other play in the 11-on-11, McCarron holds on to the ball and then just breaks the pocket and starts sprinting out to the right.
As I say McCarron for the first time this season, I realized that he picked the wrong year to have a slow start to training camp, because Karen is not a popular name right this moment. So McCarron, if I'm going to start calling him my Karen, right, my own little personal right Karen,
you're gonna
go ahead and causing grief for me when there shouldn't be any grief. That's the ultimate Karen move right there, making me worry about the backup quarterback position.
McCarron, McCarron.
AJ McCarron out there in the locker room telling guys to turn their boom boxes down and whatnot.
Yeah. Have you seen the videos of what Nick Martin and Deshaun Watson do at the end of the early part of the stretching period?
I've seen one of the drops in the bucket where Nick Martin throws a fade to Deshaun
in the back of the end zone.
A corner fade in the back of the end zone.
Yeah, they do that every day.
The one I saw, he had beautiful touch on it.
Beautiful touch on it every day. Nick Martin has real nice touch on his deep ball.
I don't like that, Sean. I don't like that at all, and
why?
I think they need to stop it immediately.
Why?
Because I smell a Bill O'Brien fake play atrocity of Bruin. if we're going to do the old thing where we ran this in high school once, and I can't remember if it was actually legal or not, but I was the center, and you snap the ball to the quarterback, and as long as it touches the quarterback's hands, and then I took it back from him and I ran. And
can you even do that?
They didn't flag us for it, but I'm not sure if it's legal or not. I've never gone back in the rule book. 40 years later, I have yet to check into the legality of it.
It's like marijuana. It's legal in some states. In upstate New York, that play is legal. Yeah.
I will say, there's one thing. Like, if you're a future NFL player, this is my advice to any kid that's in high school right now and you're a future NFL player playing center. This is the best JV football play ever. Snap it to the quarterback and have the quarterback run directly behind the center for 10 to 20 yards every time. We did that. My JV coach was awesome. I would snap the ball to Jeff Farragher, and we would QB sneak for massive yardage every game. It was awesome.
You got all these other schools where there's like 30, 35 kids on the team that all love football. Your school had two kids that liked it. You and the quarterback. That was it.
I was just like Conan the Barbarian, just slashing and burning my way through the linebackers.
Next observation, practice number 8 yesterday. Buddy Howell is definitely the third running back as of right now. O'Brien basically said that to McClain after practice. Like, he's the guy he's the number 3 guy right now. Lots of running back action in the passing game, Seth, especially in the 2-minute offense. Duke Johnson looked really good yesterday. Duke's got some burst right now. I'm cautiously excited about this backfield of the Johnson and Johnson boys.
This is what I worry about with that. And this isn't me. This isn't a negative take or anything. I'll tell you my genuine concern about that. is that during training camp can deceive coaches sometimes, and it's because you're not tackling to the ground, because it's not quite real football, athleticism is overly rewarded. You see this on the defensive line all the time in training camp. Guys who are very athletic but not necessarily tough physically will look awesome during training camp, and then you wonder what happened when you get to the regular season when things get real physical. I think Duke Johnson and David Johnson are plenty tough, but they're not physical players. You know, David Johnson hasn't been a physical player really since 2016. Mm-hmm. So I worry a little bit that O'Brien and Tim Kelly won't realize that that might still be an issue when we line up against Kansas City.
Did not see Brandon Dunn out there yesterday. Maybe just been a day off. J.J. Watt out there in pads, but did not do any 11-on-11 work. Did some walkthrough stuff with his teammates, but then worked out off to the side. He's fine. There's a video of J.J. online stretching before practice where he's doing one of those Rockettes kicks where he puts his hand out in front of him, palm facing down, Seth, like directly in front of his face. Yeah.
So the walking hamstring stretch.
Yeah, where he's able to kick his leg like up over his forehead. Like, you're a former defensive lineman. Was there ever a point in your career where you could kick your leg up?
I can still do it. I'll show you right now.
Okay, cool. All right, let's see. Let's see, Seth.
Be sure you can.
Seth is taking the headsets off. All right. And Seth, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. Wow. Seth, I'm impressed. Okay, I stand corrected. JJ, not really impressed with you. Seth Payne can do it, and he's been retired for a decade and a half.
That's the one thing that God gifted me with was freakish flexibility for a big fella.
Yeah. That was – boy.
That's right, ladies.
You need to put Seth, you need to put out your answer to JJ's box jumping video. That's right, ladies. Ladies love those freakish hamstrings.
I don't think women are turned on by contortionist men the way men are turned on by contortionist
Probably not. Yeah. What I was going to say was no Dunn and no Watt in the 11-on-11 drills. So we saw a lot more of Ross Blacklock and Charles Amenihue yesterday. So that was fun. I mean, those are two very pivotal young linemen, not just for this year, but probably going forward for the next several years.
You know what I like about Amenihue? Amenihue's got a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I feel like Amenihue got a lot of positive feedback, I would say, from the media and fans last year.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't enough for him. He chose to find the slights and some of the, even in a compliment, I've seen him respond on social media a couple times where he's kind of like, oh, did you expect a different? I like that a lot.
Yes.
Because Amenihue's got some kind of – there's a certain Texas high school football vibe. I'm not trying to pander to Texas high school football or anything. I can't quite place my finger on it, but Amenihue has it. Yeah. Whatever that certain kind of swagger is, Amenihue has it, and I like it.
He channeled both Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt yesterday real quick. He jumped off sides during the 11-on-11 drill, like badly, like just jumped off sides and plowed the middle of the line over.
Yeah.
And then two plays later, he batted a pass down. So he recovered. He got redemption.
Let's see. J.J. Swat was the nickname. Charles Amenihue. That's hard to make a name.
Take some time to think about that one. Okay. Yeah, the Rockets have had forks in the road in the Harden era before.
Oh man, that pass blew.
Definitely take the break to think about this. Yeah.
Okay.
They've had forks in the road during the Harden era in the playoffs. We're four games into these playoffs. How does this group stack up when it comes to our confidence in them to get this series going the right direction? We'll hit the Rockets next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.